We should be going. All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome back once again to the Great Scott Podcast. I am joined by one of my favorite people, Coach Herm Edwards. How you doing, Coach?
I am doing well. I think if you're a football fan right now, you're excited about the end of the month. We're actually going to see some tackle football, National Football League, the Hall of Fame game, Chargers versus Detroit Lions. Two upcoming teams, obviously. I think if you're Detroit Lions, you're a little bit scratching your head because of what happened to you last year. That young quarterback,
Yeah.
Jay Daniels, went in there and beat you. And then obviously the Chargers with Harbaugh now being the head coach, I think they're going to be very, very good in the West. Someone that the Chiefs will have to deal with twice.
Yeah, that's going to be my prediction. How do you think the Chiefs are going to go against them?
Well, look, I think even when you think about the Kansas City Chiefs and what these guys have done under Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and obviously the ownership of the Hunts, I mean, the last six seasons, they've gone to the conference championship six times.
Yeah.
Won what, three Super Bowls. So, and I think what happens to you when you get used to doing that, you think it's your birthright. And last year was a year of they get to the Super Bowl and hard game for me to watch.
Yeah.
The fact that I
Some
played for the
people.
Eagles all those years and obviously coached with the Chiefs and got my first NFL job with the Chiefs with the Hunt family when I first came there with Marty. So but Philadelphia's just a better team.
Oh,
They were a better
absolutely. I
team.
agree.
No
I
doubt.
agree.
So that's just how it works.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to also ask you, who were you rooting for last year, the Chiefs or the Eagles? Yeah.
Yeah, well, I like everyone asked me when I was in the studio, who are you rooting for? I said, somebody's gonna win. I'm okay.
Yeah.
I'm okay.
Yeah. Now you mentioned that you had coached for the Chiefs, and there was this other guy named Tony Dungy who
Yeah.
helped you become the assistant head coach or assistant underneath him.
No, assistant head coach in Tampa. Tony Dungy's story is real simple. We came out of college the same time together, and we met in some all-star games, and from there we became friends. He went to the Pittsburgh Steelers, played for about 3 or 4 years, then got into coaching. I was still playing. And then we got together on Marty's staff when we were in Kansas City. And Marty had a staff, a really good staff. Bill Cowher was on that staff, Tony, Bruce Arians, a bunch of really
Yeah.
good coaches there. Marty was a fabulous coach. And then Tony went to Tampa and took me to Tampa with him, made me the assistant head coach. And then we were trying to build a program down there. We got it going pretty good. And then I went to New York. So, and I've known Tony a long, long time. A great human being, great father, just a great person, and a fantastic football coach.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, it was around that time Tampa wasn't really doing all that well. Then they
No.
brought in Tony.
Yeah, and we inherited a halfway decent roster. When you think about the four guys that are going to be Hall of Famers, is John Lynch, Rondé Barber, Derrick Brooks, and Sapp. They were a part of that equation with us down there, and we built a pretty good program down there, and Tony was the architect of that.
Yeah. So I also wanted to say thank you for your time here in Kansas City, because I'm in Kansas City now, and
Okay.
yeah, so it's actually been fun the last six seasons, as opposed to
Oh
the
yeah. I
whole
mean it's
time before when, yeah.
Yeah, no, and I know Marty had it going there for a while, and it just never seemed to get over the hump. It was always the Buffalo Bills in the way, it seemed like,
Yeah.
back in those days, now they got Andy's done a marvelous job there, and they got it going, and they're going to be in the hunt again. I mean, they're always going to be in the hunt.
Oh yeah,
They
I
lost some
agree.
players, they lost some players, so they got to regroup there. But as long as you got the quarterback in place, you're going to be okay. And you got Andy Reid there. The organization is solid, good ownership. So, they're a team you're going to have to deal with every year.
Now, talking about a younger Herm Edwards, you actually started working when you were 10 years old. Your dad made you get a job. And you were actually you were shining shoes for about a quarter or 35 cents each time.
That was it. Spit shine
Yeah.
35, regular shine 25. Father was a military guy. fought in the Korean War and World War II. My mom was actually a German war bride, so she went to work in the factory. She didn't even finish high school. My father, I guess, maybe finished high school and then joined the army. Work ethic was set in our family. It was part of what we did. You knew how to work hard, and you took pride in your work. That was one thing. He said, make sure you do the little things, do the corners. That's what he said. So he said, tell me, do the corners. Make sure you do it right, because you autograph who you are by your work, and that kind of
Yes.
tells people who you are.
And here's how your work ethic is. I was also reading how you're in the office by 7 a.m. and you will have already worked out by that point. You go to the gym early in the morning.
Yeah, I'm a 4 o'clock guy.
Ooh.
I just get up at 4, and I generally start working out about 4:30. I'm done by 6:30. I still do it. I still do it today. We're fortunate we have a gym here in our home. I get up early. I just felt, when you get up early, no one bothers you.
Yeah, that's
It's
true. Yeah.
quiet. You can think. I mean, when you're a coach, you need some moments of your own time so you can kind of figure out what you're going to do the course of the day. So, that really helped me on that part of it. Then you can get back to your staff. You can get back to the football once you walk back in the building in your office. And then when I start working for ESPN, obviously the worldwide leader, I live on the West Coast. We live out in Carmel, California. And Bristol's
No,
in
that's
Connecticut.
that's
And
where Clint
so,
Eastwood was.
well, Clint's my neighbor, actually. He lives
Clint, your
right up.
neighbor?
Yeah, he lives right up the street from me. Yeah, we
Wow.
live. Yeah. So it's a private community. He bought like 2,000 acres, I think probably back in the 70s. And
Yeah.
when I was working for the Jets, I came up and he kind of twisted my arm and told me I needed to buy a lot. So I bought a lot. And my wife built her dream house here. So we raised our girls here. They're both now going to college. Gabrielle was a freshman last year at the University of Texas, and her sister
Okay.
Vivian is going to be a freshman going to the University of Texas. So all of a sudden, we're hooking them horns. We hook them horns now. We
Yeah.
were paying tuition in Texas.
So I wanted to also say, speaking of football, you played for the Jets
Yep.
and
No,
you,
Eagles.
or I'm sorry, the Eagles. Yeah, Eagles. That's what I meant. And it was under a guy named Dick Vermeil, who
Yeah.
also was a Kansas City, later on a Kansas City Chief coach. And
Yep.
were you surprised at all when you took over the job for being the head coach for your to the team that you used to play for?
A little surprised, but that conversation was had before I even thought about taking a job. So it's just the Dick Vermeil, the Carl Peterson connection goes back with me in high school. They recruited
Oh.
me to come to UCLA. That's how long I've known Coach and Carl Peterson. When I was a junior in high school, they recruited me to UCLA. I ended up going to Cal. Didn't go to UCLA, went to Cal. But I've known Dick that long in my life, along with Carl Peterson. So when I was with the Jets, obviously, when this thing was swirling, I got the call and say, what do you want to do? I said, well, look, I'll come back home. That was my first job ever, the Hunts. They afforded me the ability to come in the NFL by giving me a job. So Lamar wants me to come back. I'd love to come back. And worked out well for me. I ended up going back to Kansas City. Wish we would have played a little bit better, but it was a unique situation. There was a transition going on with a bunch of older players and trying to bring in some new players, right? And so you get caught in that transition, and that's the way it goes. But I loved it. One of my daughters was born there. Vivian was born in Kansas City, and Gabrielle, my older daughter, was born in New York. So I have great fondness of Kansas City. There's no doubt about that.
Was there a recent talk, or I think I was reading how the Jets might have wanted you back to be their head coach, and you denied.
Well, I'm done. I'm done coaching. I put my coaching hat up. It's
Oh, yeah.
on the shelf. I'm good. I like what I'm doing. I get to talk about football. Football is my passion, and I have a platform. Obviously, just to try to be the voice of reason. And when I look at it, I look at it from a coach's eye, but also a player's eyes. And I just try to be the voice of reason when things happen, because a lot of things happen sometimes when you're the head coach, and you have to sit there and take it. And a lot of it has nothing to do with you, but you're the head coach. You got to deal with it, right? And And when you're a player, there's another avenue you got to deal with. So I've worn a lot of hats in the NFL, and I have enough people that I know that when I need information, I can call them. They'll give me the facts of what happened, and so I can kind of try to figure it all out and put it in a way where it's the voice of reason rather than being a debate.
And you're also a book writer. You wrote a book called Hermisms, and I think it's called You Play. And this is one of your famous sayings: "You play to win the game."
That is correct. Dr. Jim Tunney, who was an official, used to be official in the NFL referee, helped me write the book, along with Shelly Smith. Shelly Smith obviously helped me write the book as well. So that was a long time ago, but it was fun to do that. A lot of reflection on my life, my career, and the National Football League. I've been very fortunate in my lifetime that I was a good enough football player to be able to play at a high level in college, and then obviously going into pro football. And when I actually got into pro football, when I retired, I said, I want to give back to the game. I want to give back to the players. And so my passion was going to be a coach, and I just wanted to be a secondary coach. I had no aspirations of being a head coach. I said that job's way overrated, man. I just want to coach a secondary. But eventually it turned out, I became a head coach, and that was a lot of fun, obviously. And went to college and became a college football head coach at Arizona State, and that was a lot of fun as well. I had a lot of really good players there, and one of them is really, really good. And he plays for Washington, and that's that quarterback, Jaden Daniels. I recruited him as a freshman. He played for me until I left, and then he went to LSU. And he's a marvelous football player, boy. I tell you what, they got a good team with him now.
And I was also reading, Coach, how you don't watch the Super Bowl unless if you're in it, one of those type of things,
Yeah, that was so here's the deal. So that was my story when I was a player, right? I wouldn't watch it. I said, man, I'm not watching till I play in it. And then we played and won. And then you get to start coaching. I said, well, I'm not watching till I coach and won again. So I didn't watch it. And then obviously when you when you're coaching and then you get on television, well, now I gotta watch it, because I got to talk about it, right? So when I went to ESPN, I had to watch the thing. I said, okay, I got to watch this, right? So I got to watch it a little bit more now because I'm on television. I don't want people to think of, he doesn't even watch the game. How is he going to tell us about what happened in the Super Bowl?
I know that you kind of have taken over Coach Dundee on, or Coach Tony Dungy on that. I know that he kind of feels the same way too. He doesn't really watch the Super Bowl unless if he's in one too.
Right. TD's tell you what, he's a great friend. Boy, I tell you what, he's still lives in Tampa. Still lives in Tampa Bay, and he's really a good guy. And he brought along a lot of coaches. There's a lot of head coaches that came off the staff. Lovie Smith happened to be one. Myself, Mike Tomlin took my job when I left to go to New York. There's a lot of guys. Rod Marinelli became a head coach. I mean, he mentored a lot of guys and put them in positions to be head coaches.
And I tell you, what he did in Indianapolis is kind of what Kansas City's doing now with Peyton Manning. I mean, Mahomes is now the new Peyton Manning or Tom Brady of today.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We had to play each other in the playoffs, right? And that was hard, and they ended up beating us, and they ended up going to Super Bowl. But that was always fun playing against Tony, because I kind of knew how he thought the game, and he knew how I thought the game, so it was kind of fun.
Now, one thing I'm wondering is, away from the field, do all the NFL coaches get along pretty much? Are you guys all pretty much friends by the end of the day?
Yeah, I mean, coaches are busy. They're busy. Now with me doing television, I don't like to bother them a lot. I know when they're available for the most part, and it's great to know guys because you can get inside information. Because when I come across on television, I don't want to come across as trying to, put people down. It's more of explaining the situation. That's why I always say I try to be the voice of reason. Because there's a there you know when there's always it seems to be television is more of a debate than anything else. Someone takes this side, someone takes the other side, and there's an argument. And everybody, oh, a big argument. No. Let's just get to the middle of it. Let's be the voice of reason and figure out what happened, why it happened, and then explain that.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's a lot of talking heads and not enough
Oh boy, lot of them, lot of them.
Now, I've been fortunate to have other NFL people on, like Bob Lilly and Jan Stenerud and
Oh wow.
Ron Max. And so I've also asked him this question. Do you think that the game of football has now become more commercialized than it really should be? Because it seemed like the merchandise and all that stuff, it's more about the business aspect of things, it seems like.
Well, I just think, you know, it generates so much attention that, you know, it's, I mean, now some people will say soccer is probably the most sport watched all over the world. But in America, I mean, whether you like it or not, it's football at the end of the day. Football's game, and everybody knows it. And, you know, we have an appetite for it. And I just think with that, there's always people trying to use football to deliver a message other than football. And when you run these stations, obviously cost money, and all those things come into play and how you go about getting people you know, to give you money, whether it's through commercials, ads, or whatever, that's part of the deal too, right? So we just got to live with that part. That's just part of it. But at the end of the day, they're there to do what? To watch the game of football.
Absolutely. And going back to your playing days, I also wanted to talk to you about your most famous play
Yeah.
against Larry Zonka, NFL Hall of Famer Larry Zonka. And that's probably going to be the play you're most known for as a player.
Yeah, that was one of those deals. It can be a curse too.
Yes.
Because I
Yeah.
tell people all the time, you know, I said that was one play in a situation, too bad for the Giants, good for the Eagles, obviously. And that kind of, you know, when you play defensive back, a lot of times you're on the bad side of the highlight film because the receiver's catching a touchdown on you or something, right?
Yeah.
And when you're in my situation, when you pick up a ball like that, that obviously magnifies a play that it happened one time and it probably never happened again, right? And the way it happened was like, whoa. And then the stage it happened on even made it grander in the fact that it was in New York, right? And it was against the Giants. And it's like, okay, here we go. And you know, that happens. And it kind of reflects this, you know, he's the guy that picked up the fumble. And I tell people all the time, I said, you know, that's one play. I'm glad it worked out that way because it got us in the playoffs. But my claim to fame is I never missed a start. I never missed a game. You know, I had 38 interceptions
Yeah.
in my career with Philadelphia Eagles. And so that's never talked about. Which is fine. I get it, but it's like that to me, by never missing a game, never missing a start, never missing a practice, that's more important to me than anything.
And that goes back to the work ethic. I'm sure your dad taught you at a young age to
Correct.
always be on
Be, you
time
know,
and
it's called this, be available.
yeah.
Availability is critical. You know, if you're available, I tell people all the time, just be available. You'd be surprised what might happen if you're available. I was available. I was one of those guys always available. I was like, hey man, I'm here. I'm ready to go to work.
I'm sure you've seen your fair share of players coming and going just because of that one thing that ruined their NFL career just for that one thing.
Yeah, and you know, you say career, and I tell guys all the time, especially when I was coaching in college football, you know, NFL is not a career, it's an opportunity. You know, it's not like, oh, I'm gonna be a doctor, I'm gonna go work for 20 years. No. Your day to day in the NFL. The life expectancy is about, oh, 3 years. Then you're
Yeah.
out, right? That's about three. And you don't get your, you know, you don't get your severance and you're not vested until four. So don't think, well, I'm gonna be an NFL player. That's great. That's like any kid. That's how I thought. But at the end of the day, don't think it's a career, because it's not. It's a short window in your life. If you play 10 years like I was fortunate enough to do, or 15 years, a lot of guys are playing a little longer now, especially the quarterbacks. But then after that, it's over. And you're 34, 35 years old. Man, you got another 40, 50 years to live. So it's just a little, it's a spotlight in your lifetime that you need to take advantage of. Enjoy the ride while you can, because it's going to end, and it ends sooner than you think. And then you got to get on with your life's work.
Absolutely. Now, what do you think has been the sustainability of the players that have lasted longer than the 3 years?
Well, health-wise, a little bit of that is they take care of themselves. They've been lucky. I was lucky. I never got hurt. Never missed anything. You wonder how did that happen? I mean, they train better now. It's just some people get hurt, some people don't. I never missed a game from high school to college to pro football. I never missed practice. I don't know why. I don't. What would you do different? I didn't do anything different. I just showed up every day. And it's just some people get through it, some people don't. You see a lot of guys with a lot of talent get injured, and they're always injured. And you feel bad for them because they can never get over it, right? And you see some guys just go right through. They never. It's just some guys are more fortunate than others.
I was going to say, yeah, the people like the Brady, the Mahomes, the Joe Namaths, the whoever, seems like they never get hurt. Like you say,
No.
it's just they know how
Crazy.
to really take, their team
Well,
knows how to take care of them.
it's just funny. And it's I always just tell people, think about football. The thing you better learn early when you start being a football player, learn how to fall. The ground's gonna catch you, but learn how to fall. That's the most important thing. You're gonna be on the ground. You don't wanna be on the ground, but you're gonna be on the ground a lot, but learn how to fall.
So I do also have one final question for you, Coach. And you've been very generous with your time, and I appreciate that. And I know that you do a lot of motivational speaking as well. And I know you've given some of your talks here in this podcast, but what is one thing you give advice to the high school or college people that are looking to get to the next level?
Well, I think the first thing you have to do is you have to have enough courage, and you have to have a work ethic that at the end of the day, regardless of what others may say, you have enough courage to bet on yourself and knowing that's good enough. You got to bet on you. I tell young people that all the time. Don't worry about anybody else. You have to bet on you. And how you can do that is this. You make sure you prepare yourself to whatever you want to do in life, be prepared. So you have the ability and the courage to bet on yourself. Because at the end of the day, you're the one's gonna have to do it. I mean, that's, I mean, you gotta do it. I mean, at the end, and some people are fearful of that. Because they hear all the outside noise, oh, this and that. And before you know it, it's like, oh, I don't know. No, you're good enough. You bet on you. That's all you gotta do. Just bet on yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Coach, like I said, thank you so much for your time for coming on. It's a pleasure to get to meet you, sir. And
My
again, thank
pleasure.
you for doing what you've done in Kansas City. And hopefully
Well,
we'll see you back here at some time.
I hope so. Thank you. And good luck with those Chiefs. They'll be right in the mix again. There's no doubt about
Oh,
that.
I'm sure. Yeah,
All
absolutely. Thank you, Coach.
right. Thank you. Bye-bye.